First, I'll call this meeting of the State Government Finance Committee to order. Welcome, members. This is the first meeting of the year for this committee. And what we're going to do today is basically give introductions of the people that are here. And we'll go from there. Just a few housekeeping things. If you put your participants piece up there, you can see there's a raise hand button. If you want to speak, ask questions, click on the raise hand button. We'll keep in order the number of people that have put that up so we can try and get to everybody. The other thing is we're going to have rules coming. They're not quite done yet. But one thing we're going to try and do is have a 24-hour rule for amendments to the bills so that we can get them posted for the public to see. And as much as possible, I'd like to keep it that way. If we have something that comes up emergency, I'll try and work with Representative Nash, who's the lead on this committee. And if we have something that comes up that we need to deal with after that. And with that, I'll start out that I'm Representative Michael Nelson. I represent House District 40A, which is basically the southern half of Brooklyn Park. And this is my 10th term in the legislature. And my second term is chair of state government finance. And I'll, Representative Nash, if you want to go next, is the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Nash, my fourth term just started. I represent District 47A, which is Western Carver County. And this is now my seventh consecutive year serving on this committee. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Next, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Andrew Carlson, representing District 50B. Glad to be back on this committee. Looking forward to the work ahead. 50B, of course, is all within the great city of Bloomington. So glad to be here and representing the city of Bloomington. So thank you, and looking forward to the work ahead.
Thank you. And next I have Representative Bonner. Are you on the here yet? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. This is State Representative Kristen Bonner representing Maple Grove and Osseo, District 34B. I am thrilled to be on state government. I was on both the Government Operations Committee and Vice Chair for the Elections Committee last cycle, and am really excited to dig into some of the issues this.
Thank you. And next time I got Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. Steve Druskowski, House District 21B. I am located in Wabasha, Winona, Goodhue, and a portion of Dodge County. Mr. Chair, I did pull over in my truck and I am hands-free. I want you to know I'm following the law. And I served on state government finance a long time ago, early in my tenure in the legislature, when Representative Kahn was chair. And I've got some good memories of that. And Mr. Chair, you've got a bar to meet there with Representative Kahn. Thank you.
I agree there, Representative Kahn. I served with her on this committee also, and yeah, she was a that's a bar to we'll try to reach. Next, I got Representative Elkins.
Hi, Steve Elkins, District 49B. This is my second term in the House and second term on this committee. Pleased to be back. And I live in Bloomington. My district also includes parts of Edina, Eden Prairie, and Minnetonka.
Thank you. And next, I've got Representative Greenman.
Good morning, Mr. and thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Emma Greenman, and I was recently elected to represent 63B, which is South Minneapolis and Eastern Richfield. And I am grateful to be on the committee. It's my first term and my second committee hearing. So excited to dig in and get to work.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Jenny Claiborne, and I represent District 44A, which consists of Plymouth. This is my second term and my second term on the committee. Excited to work with all of you.
Thank you. Next I have Representative Kosnick.
Hi, Representative John Kosnick from Lakeville. Good to be on this committee for the first time. Fourth term member, and look forward to working with the committee.
Thank you, sir. Next we have Representative Mason. And I don't know.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to be on this committee. I did serve on the committee last session, and I too had served on State Gov with Representative Kahn. And I represent District 51A, which is most of Eagan west of 35E and all of Northern Burnsville.
Thank you. And Representative Mason is also the chair of the local government committee. And so we might be getting some bills up from her committee. Next I have Representative New Brindley.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative New Brindley. The Brindley is new. And I represent most of Chisago County, District 32B. This is my first time serving on the committee.
Thank you and congratulations. I understand that was new, and so welcome to the committee.
Thanks, Mr.
Next we have Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gene Pawlowski. I'm just a retired social studies teacher from Winona.
I heard that yesterday. I'm glad to have you on the committee. And then Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sixth term, I've been either on the finance or the policy side of State Gov, I think every one of the five previous, and have Olmsted and Dodge, and looking forward to how we can help local and state government and everybody recover from the situation we're in. Thank you. Bye.
And with that, then we have our staff people that will be well on the committee, and I'll start with our committee aide, Amanda Rudolph.
Hi, I'm Amanda Rudolph, and I'm the committee administrator.
Administrator, yes, couldn't find the word. Thank you.
This is my ninth year at the House, and my first year was State Gov. Last session, I was the committee administrator for Gov Ops, Elections, and Local Gov.
Thank you. And then we have our legislative assistant, Sydney Spreck.
Hello, I'm Sydney. This is my third year at the House, and my third year with State Gov. I was with State Gov Finance the last 2 years.
Thank you. And then we've got our DFL researcher, Eamon.
Hi, I'm Eamon Gallagher. This is my second year both with the caucus and with the State Government Committee. I'm the DFL researcher.
And we have our Republican researcher, Brian.
Mr. Chair and members, Brian Cook, House GOP Research, and hopefully this is the last time we hear from me in committee.
And then we have our nonpartisan staff. We have Matt Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Matt Gehring from the House Research Department. We're the nonpartisan office that we're here to help you with bill drafting, amendments, and policy research as you need. So feel free to reach out as needed.
And then we have our fiscal person, Ms. Roberts.
Hi, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Helen Roberts. I'm from the nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department. So I'm here to help you with anything related to the budget or fiscal issues, and I'll request the fiscal notes for the committee. And I have staffed this committee since the previous sessions, or a century, since I started in 1997.
Thank you. With that, members, like I said, a couple of major points on the rules. We'd like to get the amendments the day before 9 a.m. the business day before our hearings. Testifiers, if you have testifiers, I'd like to have them to the committee administrator by 5 p.m. the business day before the hearing. Again, so all of this so we can get them this out to the public as much as possible. And then handouts, again, 5 p.m. the business day before the hearing. That way, like I said, we can get the public involved and we can have the public participate and know what we're talking about and see what we're talking about with having the those handouts available to them. And with that, we have a presentation from Matt Gehring from House Research Department. And Matt, if you want to begin with that, that'd be great.
Mr. Chair, can you see the handout that I've got shared on the screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So, Mr. Chair and members, what I'm going to do today is just walk through pretty quickly the sort of scope of policy jurisdiction of this committee with a focus on the agencies that you'll be hearing from over the next few weeks and months. And then Ms. Roberts is going to follow me and talk more about the finance aspects of the committee and the accounts that we have. So the document that I have for you is in the committee materials, and it looks like a memo from House Research that just lists all the agencies that are in the committee's jurisdiction. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm just going to kind of walk through the individual agencies and highlight a couple places where I think you may be interested where you may have questions, and I'm happy to take questions as we go along. So this committee, compared to other committees in the House, is either lucky or unlucky to have a pretty wide breadth of jurisdiction of types of agencies and boards and other entities that will be within your purview. So unlike other committees that are sort of very narrowly focused on a particular topic area, you really do have a number of different types of government entities that you'll be hearing from. The first set that you see on the memo are sort of the big high profile governing entities of state government. And that starts with the state legislature. So you'll hear from both the House jurisdiction or legislature budget, which includes the House, the Senate, and the Legislative Coordinating Commission. And within the LCC, the Coordinating Commission are offices such as the Legislative Auditor, Revisor of Statutes, the Legislative Reference Library, as well as the new Legislative Budget Office, as well as some other smaller boards and commissions and other sort of units within the LCC. All of those sort of fall under that umbrella, and you'll hear more about that in the weeks ahead. In that portion of the memo, you'll see highlighted a couple of laws that were enacted in 2019 that may be of interest to you. One is a report that will be coming in written form to this committee due by the end of this week that relates to employment in state government of people with disabilities. So that's due on January 15th. And there's also a new law affecting the legislature that requires compliance with accessibility standards and IT services. That's required to be implemented by October 1st of 2024. And so that was part of the package of state government finance policy that was enacted in the budget in 2019. After the legislature, you'll see the governor's office, as well as the state auditor, attorney general, and secretary of state. So these are the constitutional officers of the state. Within the secretary of state, of course, this committee has jurisdiction over election policy. And so you'll hear more about those aspects of the Secretary's work when he does his overview. But the Secretary of State also does has some other functions, including dealing with business registrations, the open appointments process, safe at home program, and others. And as I said, in the weeks ahead, you'll hear more from the Secretary directly about those types of things. The Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board is the board that you're all familiar with as candidates for office. They also deal with registration of lobbyists and administer the gift law, as well as your statements of economic interest. And one note here, just for you all, if you haven't done so yet, your statement of economic interest must be updated by January 25th of this year. So make sure you get that turned in time to the Campaign Finance Board. Next on the list is the State Board of Investment. This is the board that's relatively small in size, but has a fairly wide scope of responsibility. They administer the investment of state funds, which the largest portion of that are the state pension funds. And then the Office of Administrative Hearings is an executive branch office, is where administrative law judges are housed. And so they have responsibility over a number of functions of administrative law, including rulemaking, contested case procedures within agencies. And they have some smaller functions related to fair campaign practices, data practices, workers' compensation law and some municipal boundary adjustments. Minute, or the Office of Minute Services, their official name, is the larger state agency that's responsible for executive branch IT services. I'm going to pause here for a minute because there are a number of things that I think you may be interested to know about related to the to Minute's work. There have been a couple of legislative auditor reports that have been completed or are in progress related to Minute that are either recently issued or will be coming soon. In 2019, the legislative auditor issued a sort of full-scale program evaluation of Minute, and I've got links in the memo for you to read that report if you're interested. There's also IT, critical IT systems, IT audit that the legislative auditor is currently conducting that's expected to be completed in May of 2021, so just in a few months. And then lastly, I want to highlight the ongoing work of a Blue Ribbon Council that was appointed by the governor that's been looking at IT services in the state over the last year or so. And their representatives, Bonner and Nash, are members of that committee, of that council. Representative Elkins has been actively engaged as well. So that's, you'll likely hear more about that group's work in months ahead. There's a link in the memo to the full report that that council issued last summer, if you'd like to read it. The Department of Administration is one of the larger agencies that serves a back office function for state government. So their primary responsibility that you'll hear about is in the areas of state contracting and purchasing, as well as management of state property and facilities. They also have a number of other sort of smaller functions for small agencies and for data practices and some other areas. So you'll hear about those once when they come and do their overview to the committee. The Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board, the CAP Board, is the board that's responsible for administration of the state capital complex and preservation of the state capital itself. MMB is the next agency on this list. And MMB is the agency you'll be familiar with as responsible for the state finances and the state budget. So you hear from the MMB commissioner pretty frequently during budget negotiations. Your committee has responsibility over the sort of administrative function of that agency and their sort of operating. The Department of Revenue is another fairly large agency. It's actually the largest agency in this committee's jurisdiction. Your responsibility in this committee is for sort of the back office administrative functions of revenue. So you're not having in this committee jurisdiction over tax policy or that sort of thing, but you have jurisdiction over the sort of function of the department in administering tax policy for the state. And then the next set of entities all sort of fall under this sort of similar umbrella. In sort of this kind of gambling type of category. So the Gambling Control Board is the board that's responsible for overseeing and regulating charitable gambling in the state. The Racing Commission is responsible for overseeing horse racing and card playing at those entities in the state. And then the State Lottery is, of course, responsible for administering the state-authorized games of chance, the state lottery games that you all will be familiar and know. The Amateur Sports Commission is another one of the commissions that fits in this committee's jurisdiction. They have responsibility primarily for the Sports Center in Blaine, and they also administer a number of sort of smaller amateur sports events and facilities around the state. And then the next category on the list are Minnesota's what were called ethnic councils. So sometimes hear them referred to sort of as a group as the ethnic councils. They're actually three separate entities. One is designated to provide a voice for people of African heritage. There's a council that is exists to provide a voice for people of Latino heritage, and then for Asian Pacific Minnesotans. They're all three separate entities, and they receive funding through this committee. And then the Indian Affairs Council is sometimes lumped in with the ethnic councils, but is technically is a separate body with a separate jurisdiction and scope of responsibility. They'll also come before you and get their operating funds through the state government bill. The Minnesota Historical Society is a quasi-state agency. They're located, of course, at the Minnesota History Center, just up the street from the Capitol. They receive some grants and funds through outside sources, and they also get a portion of their operating funds through this committee. The State Arts Board is another one that receives funding through a number of sources, including this committee. They also receive legacy dollars through the legacy committee. And there's a recent report from the legislative auditor from 2019 that takes a look at their grant making practices. And there's a link in the memo if you're interested in reading that. The Minnesota Humanities Center is another sort of quasi state entity that receives state funding as well as some federal funding and legacy dollars to support their work. They're a nonprofit organization that's exists pursuant to a state law that exists that are kind of responsible. They sort of have a mission to further the study of humanities and enhance the work of schools and colleges and cultural organizations in the state. And then next on the list is a series of smaller licensing boards for specific professions in the state. So there's the Board of Accountancy, the Board of Architecture and Engineering, Land Surveying, Landscape Architecture, Geoscience and Interior Design, which is a mouthful. They have responsibility for those professions for sort of registration and licensing of professionals in that area. The Board of Cosmetologist Examiners, or the Board of Cosmetology, it's sometimes referred to, is also in this committee's jurisdiction. And there is a legislative auditor's report that will be due in April of this year related to some of the work of their office. The Board of Barber Examiners is separate from the Board of Cosmetology, so they regulate the practice of barbering in the state. And then lastly is the state pension plan. So this committee will hear from the state pension plans and provide the sort of portion of the pension funds that are direct state aid. And then there's other policy and funding that comes through the Pension Commission and goes separately through a pension bill that this committee likely will hear, but sort of runs separately from the state government finance budget. And so you'll hear more about that when you have the overview from the pension plans and from the Pension Commission later on in the session. And Mr. Chair, that's the full list of agencies that are within this committee's jurisdiction. And as I said, Ms. Roberts is going to walk through some of the finances and how that works. But I'm happy to take questions if you have them.
Why don't we wait till the end and then we can have the questions then. Ms. Roberts, and have we worked out your sharing of your documents?
Yes. Mr. Chair, can you see the pie chart?
Yep, now I can.
Okay, great. I'm just going to give you a very summary level of the budget numbers for the committee. As Mr. Gehring's memo noted, we have quite a few agencies. So trying to do this overview, I tried to keep it as simple as possible to start with. The first pie chart is going to show you what the general fund base for this committee looks like distributed among the state government finance agencies. And you can see as the Department of Revenue is the largest, the next two are the legislature and the pension aids that go directly to the plan. So between these three, those three accounts make up about 70% of the general fund base for this committee. And these numbers total to $965.3 million in spending based on the November forecast. This is the number that will be adjusted in the February forecast, and that will provide the starting point for the target for this committee. And then you can see again, here's just the detail on the largest agencies in the base of this committee. I'm going to move down now to some more detail that I'm not going to walk through line by line, but this is just showing you the actual and estimated for the current biennium, and then the forecast base, which is what the pie chart showed for the next biennium, and then the dollar change for each agency. And I've grouped it so you can see, sort of following Mr. Gehring's memo, the different kinds of groups, the legislature, the constitutional offices, major executive agencies. A couple things I want to point out in this change column. Usually if you see a big change, it's probably due to a one-time appropriation. As you can see under the Secretary of State's office, it looks like spending is being reduced in the base, and that's due to both the HAVA money match, one-time match, and then the presidential primary. But the biggest one I want to point out is this big change in MMB non-operating. And that is due to the two significant COVID-related funding items that were placed in the MMB non-operating line, both the initial $200 million for the COVID-19 fund, and then in the last special session, the grants to local businesses. So we track that spending in our area, even though it's not something that's really part of the operations of MMB. And then again, there's a grouping for the boards, commissions and councils, the occupational licensing boards, the various retirement funds, which include the aides both that go directly to the plans. And then also this MSRS piece is for the pre-1997 legislators and constitutional officers plan, and then the judges retirement plan. So again, you'll see here, there's a $965 million base for the general fund for this committee. And then the next pie chart I'm gonna show you is showing you what the distribution would look like if you included all funds, not just the general fund. So these aren't necessarily funds that we have to appropriate. They're special revenue funds, internal service funds, those sorts of things. And here's where the picture really changes for this committee, because you'll see right away that MNIT becomes by far the biggest agency in terms of funds that's under the control of this committee. And then the second one is administration. And that's again, because they're an agency that provides services to other state agencies through their internal service funds. So the largest part of these two agencies, it doesn't come through their direct general fund appropriation, but through services that they provide to other state agencies. This will show you just some examples of what I was just talking about, where there are agencies that either provide services such as administration, there's a listing of their various internal service funds, and then, and the biggest being the plant management fund, but they also do the risk management for the state. They provide fleet services, central mail, et cetera. This minute services piece is, actually I realize I'm only showing a part of minute services. This is the piece that they, that minute services charges directly a fee for service to state agencies, but they also have a special revenue fund that's even larger that is for the various agency projects, et cetera. And then finally, another example that's not included in the pie chart is Minnesota Management and Budget manages the statewide insurance program. So that includes both state agency funds and employee funds. Some final examples are below state, the state auditor gets reimbursements for local governments for audits. The governor's office has interagency agreements for its government relations staff. The administrative hearings charges to local governments and agencies for administrative law judges. So again, these are some examples of how state government agencies interact and impact other state agencies. And just finally, I know this was really quick, I want to provide some sources of information on state agency budgets. First, there's a link to the base budget information for each agency on the MMB website. And these base budget pages are a really good source if you want to learn more about what an agency does. Second, there's a link to our department's tracking sheets. And as we go through the process, I'll be posting a lot more detailed spreadsheets on what we just saw. And those are updated throughout the session, but you can find them for other committee. Every committee is posted at this place. If members want even more detail than what's in the budget pages, I have access directly to the budget system from MMB, so can drill down to some more detail than what you would see in the printed budget pages. And then I have a link to the legislative auditor reports, which is another great source for members if you're interested in digging into the background of an agency. Finally, my contact information. I'm available to all members to walk through any kind of fiscal issues once we get to the more detailed tracking sheets. I'm certainly available to help people walk through that, because with the number of agencies we have, it's going to be a challenge, I think, to try to present that over Zoom. So it might be helpful to sort of do that in smaller sorts of walkthroughs. And that's what I have.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Members' questions. If you want to ask a question, please try to use the raise hands function. I know Representative Duszkowski and Representative Kosnick were driving in. They may not have that available to them. If you want to ask questions, maybe just speak up. Representative Elkins, I see your hand up.
Yes, quick question. So I know that Ms. Spreck has set up a Microsoft Teams groups for us. Are these documents going to be posted on the Teams website for this team?
Ms. Spreck.
I can look into that following this meeting. I haven't done that before, but I can work on it.
Be an easy way for us to share stuff.
Any other questions? Quite a bunch this morning. Okay. Just a couple of things here. I'd like to, again, housekeeping things. If you're talking, and I know if you're driving in, if you're in your car, you may not be able to do that. But if you're talking and you're asking a question, I would like you to please put your video on, again, so the public can see. These meetings are recorded. That way the people can see who's talking. And it's, again, it's for courtesy of the public. If you want to talk, raise your hands with the raise hands button so that we can keep a track of that and going forward. We're going to be having more rules. The rules will be coming out and be handed out to everybody coming up in the future here. And again, the handouts are also on if we go to the webpage. And under our meetings, if you go to the House webpage under meetings and you click on us, the documents that have been turned in are on that page and can be accessed that way through the internet. So all the stuff that you saw, that the two presentations, both from Ms. Roberts and Mr. Gehring, were on that webpage and can be accessed there. With that, are there any other questions or anything else anyone would like to say? I'll represent the Quam. I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And because of the diversity of quality of broadband across the state, sometimes having the video on off pixelates and also has voice issues. So some of us that do a lot of these meetings have been in the habit of not including that, just for information. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I understand that too. There's also maybe a surprise to some people, but we do have some of those issues with not lack of broadband and lack of high-speed internet in some areas in the metro area. So that is not just a thing that happens in the outstate, but as much as possible, if you can, when you're speaking, if you have your camera on, that way we know who's talking, and if that's a problem, we can deal with that too, we can be understanding. But as much as possible, I'd like people when they speak to have their camera on so we can see them. Any other questions or any other comments? I don't see anybody coming up here. Members, just so you know, these will be posted, but the next meeting will be Thursday. And one other thing that we're going to do here, because of the limitations we may have on Zoom, is we're not going to be doing a lot of overviews like we have in the past, partly because of on Zoom that they can be boring and they can be dragged out. Even when you're in person, sometimes they can be boring, especially for people that have been on this committee before. But we're going to ask people to come in and actually have business before us to come and do that business. So the next meeting is the 19th, this Thursday. I got my date wrong. This Thursday is the 14th. And we're going to have the presentation by the state auditor. And that presentation is going to include their budget request for the upcoming session. Again, next Tuesday, the 19th, we're going to have the Office of the Attorney General in, and the Secretary of State in. And again, they're going to do a short presentation about their offices, but we're also going, they're going to be doing their budget requests for the upcoming session. And then on the 21st, we're going to have the Pension Commission in, and then going forward from there. So members, hopefully we can be prepared, be on the committee early so we can get started on time. And if you can't make the meeting for whatever reason, or if you have an issue, if you're driving in or whatever, if you can make aware of that, I'm made aware of with the legislative assistant or the committee administrator, so we know that way we can have some accommodations for people if we need to. Again, anyone else have anything they want to say or ask or talk about? Otherwise, members, we can adjourn this meeting, and I look forward to seeing you all this Thursday the 14th.